originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios. This is Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on the Horse Racing Radio Network. An intimate, in-depth discussion with the best jockeys in thoroughbred racing.
25-year-old Mario Gutierrez, who took Derby 1:38.
Digging down for the final 16th under Victor Espinosa.
Joe Calamo in the ride of his life, in the race of his life.
Gary Stevens, 3 Preaknesses.
A brilliant ride by Calvin Burrell.
Up the inside under Johnny Velasquez to take it.
Shanghai Bobby and Rosina Pradnik come again to beat He's Had Enough.
Raji Baraj aboard, crushing the field here.
Perfectly ridden by Javier Castellano. A scintillating performance under Rafael Bejarano.
Now, here's Christina McManigal.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm your host, retired jockey Christina McManigal, and I am joining you tonight from our Jimmy John's of Lexington, Kentucky studio. I'd like to thank everyone listening tonight on Sirius 219, XM 201, and also to those of you listening to our website at horseracingradio.net. So a portion of the proceeds from this show go to the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. The PDJF provides financial assistance to riders who have suffered devastating on-track injuries. Please, if you're able to help, visit their website at www.pdjf.org. So our guest this evening, he went to the Peruvian Jockey School, started his career in his native country, and then started riding in the U.S. in 2007. Since that time, he's been leading rider at Hoosier Park once and Indiana Grand twice. He won the Grade 2 Woodford aboard Buchero back-to-back years in 2017 and 2018. That horse also took him to the Breeders' Cup twice. With 1,821 wins and over $35 million in earnings, it's a pleasure to introduce jockey Fernando de la Cruz. Fernando, welcome to the show.
Hi, everyone.
Great having you here, Fernando. I've been dying to get you on the show here for a while. You know, you were in the spotlight with Buchero so many years in a row, actually. He took you to the Breeders' Cup, as I mentioned. And actually, you've been riding regularly at Indiana. The season there has died down. You're riding in Kentucky now. So, Fernando, tell us your future plans.
Oh, yeah. Thank you first for the show, for inviting the show. Well, my plan is going to stay in Kentucky a little bit and I can go back to Oakland Park.
Now, you actually just moved your tack to Oakland for the winter starting last year, and that was a success for you, wasn't it?
Yes, it was successful, thanks to God. I mean, my agent worked out good, and we make a good team with my agent over there.
So, Oakland Park is on my bucket list, actually, Fernando. I've never been there, and I hear it is such a great place to be. The crowd really comes out for the races. People, you know, really get involved. What's your opinion of Oakland Park, and why do you like it there?
Well, Oakland Park, I like it. I mean, it's a nice place, gorgeous place. Everybody, I mean, the public, you love the horse racing there. I mean, nice neighborhood over there, too. I mean, I like it for the first time I go there, special ride from good people there, you know.
Who do you mostly ride for there?
I rode him for Brad Cox. He gave me the opportunity to ride his horses over there, so he gave me good help there. So I rode him. Good horses for him, give me that big opportunity for starting my career, keep going my career for trying to ride in grade one or grade two, you know?
Yeah, you'll definitely have an opportunity there with Brad Cox, who's having so much success, especially here in Kentucky. We'll obviously have success at Oakland as well. Now, you rode a horse this winter I'm just curious about. We haven't seen him in a while. Exclamation Point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I rode him and gave him two times opportunity to ride him and take it to the winner's circle. It's a nice such a good horse to ride him to him, you know.
Are they planning on bringing him back here soon?
That's what I heard. He's bringing back soon. I mean, I'm not sure yet. I'm not working yet. The horse probably he wanna bring to Oakland Park, or I don't know yet. You know, I don't know, ask him to Brad. You know, neither my agent, I think, but probably wanna come back with you soon.
Well, we'll be looking for you too in the winner's circle. Hopefully, this winter at Oakland Park again. Now, Fernando, we usually start the show out by going to the beginning. Let's go back here to Peru, where you grew up. And when did you first find an interest in horse racing?
I was in 2004. I go to the racetrack, like, by with my part of family, just watching the race. And just like I see, you know, people's gambling or making sure, but more interesting for me was the races, the competition with all the jockeys, you know, in the racetrack. So I'm putting my own plan to go to the jockey school or trying to how I can get into the racetrack, you know.
Did you have any family involved in the industry at that time?
No, that time no. I just go to the grandstand and look it up, how we do, how making races, how working, and you know, the gambling people there, how he do. So, by most interesting for me was how I can get it to ride a horse, you know.
And what was it like growing up in Peru? Did you have a large family?
Yes, I have a large family. We're five boys and two girls. All together, we are seven.
Wow. Mother was busy, I bet.
Yeah.
Now, what were you like as a kid? Were you always athletic?
Yes, always. I mean, when I was a kid, always. My dad, my mom used to have in the farm horses, cows, and everything, you know. And so usually in the farm, I usually ride a horse, but not like a racehorse, you know. It's a different kind of horse.
So you always enjoyed being around the animals then, so I guess it was kind of natural for you to find your love at the racetrack. And before attending the jockey school, what were the requirements for you to attend that school? I mean, did you have to, you know, was there a certain age limit? What was the application process for the school?
The application process is the age. You have to be 14 to 17 year old. I mean, yeah. And the weight, you have to be like 100 pounds or 105 pounds, the limit for getting to the school. And then you have to give it a couple tests, or, you know, like drugs and alcohol and any kind of things, you know. For that moment, for the age, you got that kind of test you have to pass. And you have to be in the school for 2 years. You might can get approved with a teacher, you know.
So how old were you when you started going to the school?
I was like 16 year old.
16. Had you finished high school at that point?
Yeah.
And what did your mother, what did your father, what did they think of this idea when you told them?
First, my dad, he was interested and happy to try to get in ride the horses. But my mom, no, because she watched the races. I mean, a couple times I showed him how we do the jacks, everything. You know, the racetrack can fall off and kind of thing can happen, accidents. So my mom, she doesn't like it because, you know, you can get hurt or something. Always mom thinking the worst part, you know.
I know. Yeah. I know how it works. My mother was the same way. But what did you find at the school? How did they start you out? Did you work around the horses in the barn? Grooming horses?
Well,
what was that like?
I started working in the farm, I mean, in the barn, like clean the horse, I mean, clean the stables, and put it in saddle, put it in bridle. Stuff like a hog walker, groom, any kind know, that kind of things, all the people in the Hebrew, you know.
Obviously, your racehorses are a bit different, as you mentioned, than the horses you grew up around. Were you at all intimidated in the beginning when you started working around these massive animals?
Yes, a little bit. I was intimidated. I mean, a little bit scared too, because I mean, it's just a big horse and different kind of horse. You need more attention. This horse, you know, just like a train or just riding tough horses. And sometimes some crazy horses, you know, they're all babies. Whatever, you have to involve little by little, day by day, you know.
How many kids were in your class at the school?
We get in 20, and we graduate 8.
Wow. So what happened to the others? They just quit?
They just quit, I mean, for his weight and... you know, for keep attention by teacher too. You have to go show up like 4 o'clock in the morning. Have to be all day in the racetrack, working in the morning, making exercise in the afternoon, just full time working in the school. You know.
So a busy schedule for sure. Now, how long before they let you start galloping horses at the racetrack?
It takes me like 3 months for start galloping. Start galloping and jogging the horse. And for start working, like usually work the horses or from the gate, whatever, it takes me a year.
And did you find that it came natural to you?
Yes. It was natural. I love the horses. I like horses. I like to be in the action, the competition. I make connection with the horses quickly. I love the horses. You know, I grew up with the horses. But I know that kind of horses, but still it's animals, you know.
What was the hardest thing for you in the beginning? What didn't come so easy for you?
The hardest things, I mean, pretty much nothing. I mean, I just focus. I just listen to the teacher. He will teach you everything about the horse racing and racetrack. Just making connection with like the trainers or owners or another jockeys. You know, learning from good jockeys or good trainers. That's it.
Now, the jockey school in Peru has a very good reputation, has produced such riders as Edgar Prado, Alan Garcia, Rafael Bejarano. Any other big names we would recognize that were part of your class?
In part of my class, no. No, but I mean, just like you mentioned the name of Prado, Bejarano, Alan Garcia, Miguel Mena, the kind of riders I saw him, but for my school, the same year we graduated, no, only me, I'm here in the United States. The rest of them stay in Peru.
So let's talk about that for a minute, the differences between racing in Peru and in the United States. I've heard some stories about galloping horses without saddles, and what's that like, working in the morning and in the afternoon? What are the differences?
I mean, in the morning, you just gallop out of the saddle. Because usually everyone, he does have a same connection like here, you know. Over there, you just gallop without the saddle. In the afternoon, you just put it in saddle. I mean, it's the kind of like here, but you know, make you big difference because you are every day working horses. You can gallop 3 horses without a saddle, and you can work horses with a saddle, 5 horses, you know. It's the same every day you do that.
So they keep you busy in the mornings then, as you said, galloping horses, working horses.
Yes, usually in the morning in Peru, we gallop 15, 12, or 20 horses. We gallop and working all together.
Wow.
All the jockeys he does, yes.
I galloped horses before, but I never galloped 20 horses in a day. That's a big number.
I mean, the grooms, he bring you to the racetrack, to the, close to the racetrack, to the rail, he bring you. So you get on in the horse, or you gallop, or you work and come back, you jump off, you get on another one. But that's you do in Peru. But here, you have to back all the way to the barn and bring it back again. But over there, no. Over there, the groom, he bring it close to the rail. So you gallop or you work, whatever you do, whatever you want to do, you do. And then you come back, you jump off, you get on another horse. That's it, make you quick, quick, or get on in the horse, a couple more horses.
Now, what about riding races? After you graduated from the jockey school, you started your career there in Peru. And what are the differences riding races there between here and the U.S.?
That's not any different. It's the same way. I mean, for my first time, I started riding there. I rode only 3 months over there. I don't rode it long enough. I went 34 races over there and in 3 months. When I come here, that was a little different only the racetrack. The racetrack over there is big, you know. But here, it's little. It's got, over there, it's got a long stretch. Here, it's got, like, you know, 300-yard stretch. That's it. But over there, no. It's longer. So that's the difference. But the rest one, it's pretty much the same one.
So as you mentioned, you had to go to jockey school for 2 years. And after jockey school, when you started riding races, did you know you were ready? Did your instructor pull you aside and say, listen, I think you're ready to ride? Whose decision was that?
For starting riding, that decision making the teachers, you know.
So he gave you the okay. Do you remember your first race?
Yes, I do. I remember my first race.
What was it like?
That was interesting, you know, emotional for me. That was my first race. Was when I started and I win right away. So that was really interesting for me. I never want to forget the first race.
Wow. It's a way to start out.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good to start. You know, good to start for me. Just start riding in the public and winning. That was impressive for me, you know, for me and the family, for everybody.
Now let's talk about your family for a second. You have two brothers who are now also riding races here in the U.S., Walter and Juan. And when did they get started, and were you an inspiration to them?
I started in the racetrack. After that, my young brother, Walter, he started riding in Peru. He interested to go to the school and start riding and just going, coming to here. That's why he did it.
And how about Juan? When did he start?
Juan, he started after my brother, Walter. He started, but he don't go to the school. He just started, you know, in the backside, galloping and everything. And he go to the, there's another racetrack in Peru. His name, it's in Arequipa. That's the state. So he go there, he get a license there. So he make his whole paper for bring to here.
Well, I'm not going to try to repeat the name of that racetrack. I'll butcher it. Are there only two racetracks in Peru?
Yes, there's only two racetracks.
Just two racetracks. So why did you decide to come to the U.S.?
The situation by, you know, the how I live in Peru, how I'm making money. I mean, money is not good enough for living there, you know. I mean, it's everything's cheap, the poor's everything. So he got a good opportunity coming here that he did it.
Let's compare those two things. You said the money's so much cheaper there in Peru. And how much would you win there if you won a race?
The bottom pool sits over there $500 or $1,000.
Oh, wow. So that was the biggest reason for your decision to come here to the States. And How did that process start? Did you talk to an agent here?
No. Actually, there's one family. My wife and her sister was here riding horses too. So that's my connection with the trainer, Barbara McBride, here in Indiana.
I know Barbara McBride. So you got that contact and decided to go straight to Indiana.
Yeah, she signed the paper, everything for making my contract to come into the United States. And so that made my decision coming to straight to Indiana and start riding. And she gave me the agent. My first agent was Bones. His name is Kerry Weir.
Bones. And you mentioned your wife. Were you already married then in Peru before you came to the States?
Yes, I got married in Peru with her in Peru.
And did you have any kids at that time?
No, not yet. I have kids, but I get kids here.
What was that like for your wife then to go along with your decision to move to the States? Was she scared at all?
Yes, both of them, we were here too. I mean, it's a little bit coming from Peru to here, you know, especially with the language. I didn't know in that time, like English, nothing. I know my wife, she knows the English, everything, but personal things for me, I didn't know the English, nothing, you know. I didn't speak nothing. I mean, that was really hard for me.
Yeah, I can't imagine. That had to be really difficult. And how quickly were you able to learn English?
It takes me pretty much a year. I'm still learning, you know. I'm still learning little by little. It's hard coming from the Spanish language and switch to English. It's hard. It is hard. I mean, my teaching, I got a little bit learning in Torrey Park. And there's a church that, like, give you, you know, teach you English. And my wife, he teach me every day because she was teacher in Peru, learning, you know, teaching English in Peru. So she know how teach me to me. So I said thank you to her. He helped me a lot in English.
Jockey Fernando de la Cruz joining me tonight on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. What other cultural differences did you find when you moved to the States? Besides the difficulties of learning a new language, what else was hard for you?
The food. And when you come in here, you know, it's different kind of food. And plus, I don't have the car for driving, moving around state to state, you know. My agent put me on Kentucky horses, put me on Indiana, so that was hard for me. I didn't know have car for moving, you know, riding over there, riding here. That was hard for me.
But were you eventually, I'm sure, able to get your United States driver's license?
Yes. You know what's hard, too? I mean, I got a 3-time test. Short time not possible, but it was really hard for getting my license too.
Well, I don't know about you, Fernando, but I drive as fast as I rode, so you know, watch out for the cops out there. But anyway, what did you find when you first arrived in Indiana? Did you immediately find success? Was it easy for you to start racking up those wins?
Yeah, thanks to that, I did good. I win that year in 2007 meet here, like 33 races, something like that. I finished 4 in this thing. So that was good for me. I was really happy. That God gave me this bliss here. Now I started winning the races here.
And that was at Indiana?
Yes.
But as you mentioned, you traveled around quite a bit, going to Kentucky and Hoosier and all around. And was that difficult for you, schedule-wise? And did you find the riders were different at these different racetracks?
Find different kind of riders, and it's hard, you know, the good riders, but pretty much everybody's good riders when you get the opportunity, you know. I mean, I learn from different kind of riders in a good way. It's hard on the things, like I said, just moving around from one racetrack to other racetrack, you know, working in the morning, driving back and forth, you know. That's hard, but you have to do it here like that for building your business.
What riders do you look up to today, and what riders helped you out in the beginning?
In the beginning here, you have like Ronnie Prescott and a couple more riders. I mean, he's been around here in Indiana. He helped me. I mean, pretty much when you ride horses here, over there, whatever, you jumping around racetrack to other racetrack, you can tell him, this guy helped me. I mean, pretty much everybody helped me. Like in Kentucky, like helped me. I mean, Shambhish Mohan, or that time he was riding Francisco Torres, something like that. They talk to me or tell me how to ride, how to do that, how making connection or connected in the racetrack, you know, with all the horses, with all the riders.
Do you do that now, Fernando? Do you help these younger riders coming in, maybe have, you know, the apprentices who come into the racetrack? Do you help them out?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. I talk to him and tell him how we do that. I mean, pretty much we never finish learning in the racetrack. You're learning every day different kind of things, you know, and how to ride or how to do that. Or you ride in kind of different horses. So you're learning every day in every race.
We'll continue our visit with jockey Fernando de la Cruz after this short commercial break. Folks, stay with us. You are listening to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Tito Beveridge, founder and master distiller of Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. I believe in the craft process of distilling in batches using old-fashioned pot stills, and that's the way we still make Tito's Handmade Vodka today. We even won the World Spirits Competition, double gold, unanimous judge's choice. Tito's Handmade Vodka is made from 100% corn, so it's naturally gluten-free. For recipes, videos, and more, visit titosvodka.com. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka, 5th Generation Inc., distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas.
Hi, I'm John Velasquez.
And I'm Julian Lepau. Every jockey knows and accepts the risk of a sport every time they get a leg up on the horse.
Although catastrophic on-track accidents are rare, when they do happen, the lives of the jockeys and their family change forever.
It's up to all of us in racing to support these men and women.
That's why we support the Permanent Disabled Jockey Fund. Since its founding in 2006, the PDJF has disbursed over $8 million to over 75 permanently disabled jockeys.
Over 90 cents out of every dollar donated goes directly to these brave men and women.
They use their monthly stipend to pay bills, hire caretakers, and many other things that make living with a permanent disability just a bit easier.
This is Mike Penna of HRRN. Did you know that the PDJF has no permanent guaranteed funding mechanism and relies entirely on donations from people like you? Please visit the PDJF website at pdjf.org to learn how you can help.
Hi, I'm Ron Turcotte. I support the PDJF. I hope you will too. And I thank you.
You're listening to Jock Talk on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka.
Here's Endy Hill moving up the inside third now by a length off the turn, followed by Ballandine and Command. Hoagie has a long way to come. Likewise for Conquest, Panthera. They've all got to catch Latent Revenge, still a five-length lead. Coming to the eighth pole, Buchero, his second by three. Mongolian Saturday is in third. And then comes Hoagie fourth on the far outside. Buchero striding forward for the lead. We'll have to fend off Mongolian Saturday and Hoagie. Buchero in deep stretch. Fernando de la Cruz, Buchero, 26-1 upset in the Woodford, presented by Keeneland Select.
Welcome back to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. I'm your host, Christina McManigal, and I am joined tonight by jockey Fernando de la Cruz. Fernando, that was a replay of the 2017 Woodford Stakes at Keeneland. You rode Buchero. Long shot, lit up the board that day, came flying late. Tell us about the race and the feeling you experienced when you crossed a wire in front.
I mean, the first race last year, yeah, it was really sad and impressed and happy emotionally, you know, win that race. I mean, I never speak with a horse from Indiana, but you run like a Kentucky break, you know. He showed big time that race. In that moment, he showed me I can do that race, you know. I can make it. I mean, for like all the connection for team and for owner and Harlan. So that was really happy for me.
Yeah, an Indiana bred. I think we both know Indiana breds aren't usually too fast. So it's very impressive. he's a nice horse. And at what point in that particular race did you knew you had the race won?
In the last 16th pole. When in the lead, he was going really fast. I know he was going really fast. I mean, the last 16th pole, I know when I take to the lead, I don't want to win the race because the horse, he like fight. Now, Buchero, he like fight. Every time, whatever horse coming beside him, inside and outside, he love it to fight. He love it to the wire, getting to the wire. That's I know I'll win the race. I mean, and before that race, when I rode him in Montanier, he showed me big time in riding, you know. I rode it a couple more times and went a couple more sticks in Indiana, too. But that horse always, he showed me big heart and big impressive finish.
What was he like to ride? Was he an easy horse to ride?
Easy horse to ride. He's really nice. You got, before the race, you got to warm her up really good. And as soon as you get to the gate, the horse focus 100%. He do himself everything, you know. You just making direction where you wanna go. He go. He likes fight.
You obviously had a great connection with him, and I'm a firm believer that certain riders fit certain horses, and you just have that connection. You actually going into the Breeders' Cup last year, you were undefeated in 5 starts, all stakes wins. And you two obviously just got along so well. Now, tell us about that experience. He took you to the Breeders' Cup 2 years in a row, actually, last year and this year. And what were those experiences like?
Well, that experience was like last year, my first time, it was for me really, you know, really sad. I mean, impressive and happy for me and my family, too. Keep making through my dream, you know. All the jockeys got dreams riding like Breeders' Cup or Kentucky Derby or Oaks or win too many multiple stakes, you know. That dream he got, but little by little with that horse, I just making through win the Grade 2 in trying to win the Breeders' Cup. So that was really impressive in my dream, you know.
And tell us about last year. That particular race, the Breeders' Cup race, the turf sprint, what was the race like?
The moment how I did it, the race, probably I should win the race. But, I mean, there was a trying to same ground putting in the rail of the Buchero. I mean, the Buchero asked me for get a room. I don't get a room. I mean, I just little traffic trip in that moment. So that's the reason probably I can win the race and my first time experience to ride in the Breeders' Cup, you know.
That had to be amazing, as you said, for your family as well, flying them out to California and to experience the thrill of watching you ride in the Breeders' Cup. Now, you have how many kids now?
I have 2 kids, a boy and a girl.
So they got to watch you ride in the Breeders' Cup last year. That had to be amazing for them.
Yes, he was amazing. I mean, he was happy to go to California first time for everyone, you know, my whole family. It was my wife and my 2 kids and mother-in-law. We go there, we trip everything. So we was watching the race. you know, just making happy and getting through. But I guess when you get through that and winning, but we get a good moment, we pass good moment, we did a good race.
Well, he actually ran fourth that day, very good fourth. And tell us about where you two went after that.
After that, we go to Florida, and we come back to Oakland. That's what I did.
And then you also rode him this year at Churchill Downs in the Breeders' Cup. And tell us about that race.
I mean, Churchill Downs, I mean, I guess we think he want to like the soft tour. But then in that moment, he just showed me all the way to the head of my pole. After that, you know, showed me nothing. He didn't give me nothing, you know. Just he was by himself. I mean, probably he was tough race.
Yeah, that soft ground can be difficult for some horses, of course. Now, what's the plan next for Buchero?
He retired. He's going to sail to Florida.
And will he be going to stud?
Yeah, going to stud to Florida. That's he did it. He retired. I mean, trying to find another horse and keep just working, you know.
Yeah, that has to be sad for you, knowing that you won't get another chance to ride Buchero, but you had so many great memories with that horse.
Yeah, I did some very great memory and good time and had a pictures with him, and I'm really, really a little bit sad to go in there. You know, he just retired, so I mean, I love that horse. Just like I'm making connection with the owner, I hope I want to see his baby.
Who else makes the list for you? Your favorite horses you've ever ridden? Obviously, Buchero has to be on that list. But what other horses would you call your favorites that you've had the opportunity to ride?
Honestly, I want to see it. I want to tell you, it's only that horse. The rest of them, I rode him. I mean, too many horses in Indiana breaks here in Indiana. But, I mean, that horse mostly he gave me everything, you know. He put me in a British Cup. He made me win, like, two, great two stakes in Kingsland, back-to-back, two times in the British Cup. I don't have another horse I rode him before, you know, like, I rode him, like, an exclamation point, but that was a dream, taking somewhere or rode mistakes with that horse, but, you know, get the opportunity. I hope he want to come in the next horse, you know.
So Buchero's the only horse on that list as of now. Jockey Fernando de la Cruz joining me tonight on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So, Fernando, up until last year, you were doing the Indiana-Tampa-Florida circuit. You were riding at Tampa during the wintertime, and you found great success at Tampa. And what did you like about that racetrack?
I love it, the weather, everything in Tampa. I mean, my whole family, my daughter is born there. That's the reason we go every year to there. I mean, the business way was good too there. I mean, I win too many races there. Too many nice people there too. Every race I would go, I did it successful. I did good. I win races. I mean, I love it, that racetrack. Only things that make me different just give me another opportunity to go to another racetrack like Oakland Park. That's the reason I'm moving to looking for future, you know.
You actually won your 1,000th career winner at Tampa in December of 2013. And who did you ride in that race? And what was that moment like, realizing you won your 1,000th race?
That was really good. I mean, winning the 1,000 winners there. The horse, I rode him for Jamie Ness. The horse was Jungle Princess. The name, he made me the 1,000 winner.
And like I mentioned during the introduction, almost 2,000 wins. You're almost to the 2,000 mark, Fernando, so I'm sure we'll be seeing that in the headlines before too long. Now, you've ridden, mentioned Indiana, Kentucky, Tampa, Oaklawn. You actually traveled to Jamaica once to ride a horse in Jamaica, and I've never been to Jamaica myself, so you have to tell me all about it. What was that experience like?
That was really nice experience to go there. The trainer, Jason Da Costa from Jamaica, he take me to there with his dad. His dad, from that trainer over there too, I mean, leading trainer too many years, who he take me there to ride his horses, the stakes. Like 7 horses I rode in there. I win 1 and finish 4 in the stake. I mean, that was really nice place to ride there. It's pretty much when I see it, like in Peru, the racetrack.
You got the long stretch there, yeah?
Yes, a long stretch too.
Now, how do you deal with that when you travel to a place like that where the track is obviously different? Do you try to work horses in the morning to get a better feel for the racetrack?
No, in that moment I looked it up only videos, replays that from the horse I rode in, and pretty much in the morning I look it up. I don't work nothing. I just only watch, like I said, the replays and videos, the horse I rode in. That's it. I did it. But I made a connection right away.
What were the other riders like in Jamaica?
I was one day. I mean, I couldn't figure out too good. I was with, what is his name? Patrick Hesden from Canada. He was there. I mean, both of them, we were there. I mean, I rode with him. So that was a really good experience.
Jockey Fernando de la Cruz joining me tonight on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So, Fernando, I read an article when I was doing research for this show, mentioned you possibly had future aspirations to ride in New York. And what do you think of that idea now, and is that in the future?
I like the idea, and in the future I hope I want to make true that dream to go to New York and get it with a good connection and like a owner or trainers or trainer or owner, you know, with my agent, move to there, you know. I hope that opportunity when coming, or I'm just waiting a good opportunity for getting through my dreams, you know.
You worry at all that could be tough for your family to move around across the country?
Probably what I do by myself in the beginning. After that, we'll figure out the things, how we do the business. You know?
Now, how old are your kids? Are they in school?
My son is 8-year-old. My daughter is 5-year-old.
So they're at that age where they're going to school now. Do they show any interest in maybe following in your footsteps, becoming a jockey one day themselves?
I guess it's too young to say that for my son, but I mean, probably, you never know, you know. For right now, I mean, he likes horses, everything, but I mean, he's got a more opportunity than me to go to the school and get him professional way. Like be a doctor or a lawyer, whatever. That's my dream, like that. But I don't know in the future what he want to do. You know, depends whatever he likes. I just want to follow him. I just want to help him.
So if he says to you one day that he wants to be a jockey, you would be supportive?
Sure, absolutely. I will help him.
Now, would you point him towards a jockey school? Like what you attended, or would you let him do it like your brother and just gallop horses on the racetrack?
I guess probably I got to take it to the school first, and you got to learn how we do with the horses, you know. It's different. You get on in the horses. It's different to start from the beginning, just like playing the style balls or making connection with the horse, everything. Just like putting in bandage or be how walker, everything. You have to start from the beginning for exactly how we do that with the horses, how make connection with the horse.
Obviously, if your son said he wanted to be a jockey, I'm sure you would be worried as well, because you know, just like every other jockey out there, that it's not a matter of if you get hurt, it's when you get hurt. And you know that very well. Tell us, what injuries have you had?
I broke my wrist, and I broke, I dislocated my shoulder, and I... That was it. I mean, I did it really rough, fall off too many times. Things to that, you know, happened worse than that, you know.
During any of those moments recovering from those injuries, did you ever have any doubts about coming back to ride?
No. No. Always, I like the horse. I mean, I get the, you know, when the accident, when you fall off, I mean, it just takes you time and for recuperating and recovering and just trying to get back to the what you like. What I like is riding a horse, and I love watching the race and replays or every day when you are injured, and then you get frustrated to get it back.
So you just couldn't wait to get back in the saddle?
Yeah, I can't wait. I just, you know, I'm waiting to get quickly recovering and back to the horse.
Fernando, I've told this story on the radio before, but I'll tell you, I when I would be laid up from injuries, I'd watch TVG, which was torture because I'd watch horses I rode and they would be winning. I'd throw the remote at the TV. I was so upset. That's how I was. I couldn't wait to get back. It's you have to have a love for the sport, a passion to do it. It's obviously a difficult job. So tell us, what is the most difficult part of riding?
When you are every day in action, every day in a practice, that's not any difficult. You just do what you're learning, every day, what you do every day. You just do your best. For every course you ride, if you have shot, if it doesn't have shot, when you ride it in the same way, same you do, you have to be positive every course you ride. There's no hard way anything when you do every day same thing, you know.
What about the weight? I know the weight was hard for me. Do you have an easy time with your weight?
With my weight, it's easy time from the beginning. I mean, my weight is 110 pounds, so I don't have any difficulties. I eat everything normally.
How tall are you?
I'm 4'11".
So the weight comes easy. What do you eat in a typical day to keep up your energy?
Pretty much everything, like Spanish food, everything. I mean, I don't have any kind of restrictive food. I just eat everything.
My friend used to come in the jocks room, Fernando, and she'd eat a big sandwich right in front of me, and I used to hate it. So don't do that in the jocks room. They'll hate you for it.
I know pretty much it. Usually all of them eat that. I mean, no, you can do that. I never did that. I never do that. I mean, you have to be professional while eating. You have to be respectful to everybody, you know, if you got any kind of situation.
Now, what about working out? Obviously, you're riding, you're traveling around, you're riding practically every day. Do you do anything in addition to keep up your physical strength?
Just dedication, making exercise. And, you know, there's days when I'm not go, like Monday and Tuesday. When you go in the morning work, and then afternoon, I'm making exercise, pick up weights, and jogging, and everything. There is one of them, dedication you have to do every day.
Every day. So you can't take a day off and lay around the couch. You're out there every day working.
Yes. Whether you are in this profession, you have to be dedicated, making exercise or watching videos or practice a little by little, watching all the videos, what you did wrong, what you did right, what you want to do tomorrow, what kind of horse you want to ride next week. You have to be constantly doing that. Dedication full time.
That kind of dedication, Fernando, obviously you will continue to have much success. With that being said, what are your future goals?
My future goals, I hope in the future when I'm riding one horse at this for the Kentucky Derby or Oaks or Breeders' Cup, I hope you want to come in that dream, you know.
Big races. That's what you plan on winning, Fernando.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Now, how old are you?
Yeah, 32.
32 years old. So you have many, many, many more years to ride. Eventually, you will retire, like everyone eventually does. What do you plan on doing after your riding career?
What do you mean?
Would you be an agent? Would you be a trainer?
For the moment, I don't think about that yet, but in the future, probably.
Yeah, you have a long time.
I don't know. I don't have that yet. I mean, I just want to ride many, many years more, and I hope you want to be successful. Right now, I don't have that yet.
Now, if you could go back in time and change anything, would you? And what would it be?
Change? I don't think so. In this business, you came back and changed anything. I mean, I just did what I did. Everything, when Sung Chang get on to this country, everything was right. Everything I did it right. Everything I did it good. I mean, upon my business, upon my family, I did everything right. So I don't have anything to back to say to I can do this, why I did this. But I did everything right, thanks to that.
I love it. Keep looking forward. Fernando, I love it. Now, what is your daily schedule and how do you prepare for a race? Obviously, you're so dedicated and you don't look backward and wish you could do something differently. But what's your daily schedule and how do you get ready for a race?
In the morning I work, and after that I just make a rest like for a couple hours and wait to the race and ride and work in the racing day. And the regular day I just during the morning work, make an exercise or and just after my kids come back from the school, just watching video or look it up on what he's doing, everything. That's it. Every day.
And when you're about to ride in the afternoon and you're studying your races, what do you do? Do you watch replays? Do you ask other jockeys who have ridden horses what they're like? What do you do?
I watch replays. I'm asking to other jockeys or learning from other jockeys what he's doing, what are you supposed to do, what are you not supposed to do when you ride the kind of horses. So there's different kind of horse you're riding, you know. And you learn, like I said, little by little from everyone, or you learn from yourself, or just watching the replays all day, pretty much, you know.
How would you describe your riding style?
What do you mean?
Like, are you a good gate rider? Do you typically like to send horses to the lead? Are you good coming from off the pace?
Typically it's getting to the position of the horse. Mm-hmm. Getting to position, making comfortable to the horse, can finish, you know. That's always coming at me. You know, when you break good from the gate, you know you can do better when you break last, you know.
Fernando, we only
different
have...
When you break in the way to the lane, you can break in last. And getting, you know, you get to the course of the league, getting quick to new position for trying to finish to the Y.
What kind of horses do you feel like you fit best? Do you get along well with nervous fillies, or what do you think about that?
I think about that. I mean, Not usually. I do with everything. I mean, when you're riding Indiana, when you're riding Kentucky, in Kentucky it's more easy horses to ride in Indiana. The same way. It's not. It's not nothing like different. It's same way. Every horse you ride, the good one, crazy one, bad one, it's the same for me.
Fernando, we have 1 minute left. So one last question here for you. What do you do for fun?
For fun? Nothing, pretty much. Nothing. I just focus full time and live on business.
Fernando's all work, no play.
Yeah, no play. Always work.
Always working. Always working. Well, like I said, you're going to find much success with that kind of an attitude, Fernando. Thank you so much for joining us. Good luck in Kentucky. Good luck at Oaklawn. Just wishing you all the best.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the interview. Thank you to everyone. And thank you for all support from the trainers and for my agent who helped me every time, every day.
Folks, you can check out this show and replays of all of our other shows on the website at horseracingradio.net. Now be sure to join me next Tuesday at 6 o'clock Eastern Time with another edition of Jock Talk presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. For our producer, Lee Delapina, I'm Christina McMandigal, and thanks for listening.